And we're going to be studying the subject of prayer. Prayer is something that is basic to the Christian life, and it's something that we need to master. And it's also a subject that you will never hear enough about. And really, when you think about it in practical terms, it's not what you know about God that really makes a difference in your life. It's what you practice. And so you can have all the knowledge that there is in the world until you apply it and do it. It's really not going to express what God's intent is for you in your life. Hopefully you got that, but you know, it's not what you know that makes a difference, it's what you do. In fact, Jesus said this at one point, I think Luke recorded it in Luke chapter 7, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In other words, why do you call me the owner, but you won't do what I ask you to do? And so we want to refresh your memory for many of you on the subject of prayer and approach it from a little different viewpoint, give you a little different insight, so that your prayer life will become much more vibrant, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll begin with verse 1. And this is the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. And I just want to share a few pertinent points with you. Notice verse 1. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying," notice this, "the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not stand to enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down," I'm in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3, "when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.'" Now, I want you to go down in your Bibles to verse 12. Same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Notice verse 12. It says this, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer. Notice this, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that's made," notice this, "in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified," notice this, "this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." So here we see that when Solomon dedicated the temple, that the presence of God showed up in a powerful way. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. This was such a magnificent, not only temple, but a magnificent sacrifice that they made on this day. Normally we think of sacrifices, you know, you kill a bull, kill a goat. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are over 2,200 bulls slaughtered on this day. And so the fire of God falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. This was not a little spark. This was huge. The glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests couldn't stand to minister. That means they fell. And the presence of God was such they could not go in and do their priestly duties. And then the Lord appears to Solomon by night and tells him, "I have separated this place so that my heart would be there, my eyes would be there perpetually." That means forever. And so the temple was dedicated as a place of not only sacrifice, but a place of prayer. And the Lord went on to say, you know, look, if things don't go well, now it says if I do this, if I do that, literally means if I permit these things to take place, And you have to understand, God is a God of covenant. He always operates according to principle. And so the only reason pestilence would come or these things would come would be because of disobedience. But even in that situation, the Lord gave them an out. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, because that's the reason they're in trouble. Are you with me? And heal their land. But I want you to notice that God had separated and set apart that place as a place for prayer. Now, do you remember the time when Jesus went into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers? Do you remember that story? Jesus was caught up with the zeal of the Lord, and literally there was an area in the temple where merchants had set up to rip off God's people. Now, there were many people who were poor and could not afford a lamb or a decent sacrifice, and so these merchants had set up right on the temple grounds to sell lambs, goats, bulls. But the stuff they were selling was not stuff that was worthy of sacrifice. See, these animals were to be, you know, without spot, without blemish. And here these guys are selling all these sick animals, not fit for worship. Amen. Charging exorbitant prices for stuff. And so when Jesus saw it, he braided a whip and he physically went in there and drove them out. Amen. That's one reason why I'm so thankful that we were able to achieve at least this milestone without playing con games. Because I tell you what, you know, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still feels the same way about guys who rip off God's people. Amen. His heart hasn't changed. And just for your information, if you didn't know it, you know, MGCC is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. That means if we ever stop having church, all of our assets have to go to another nonprofit corporation. Nobody puts this in their pocket. It's illegal. Can't do that. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Can't do it. That's not our intent anyway. And my attitude is like this: God, if I got to play con games to raise money, I'll go do something else. Amen. You don't have to do it. Amen? I don't want to get too far off, but I had a minister call me about finances a few months ago. And he said, how do you do this? I told him. How do you do that? I told him. And then finally he said, well, what do you do about pastor's anniversaries? I said, that's easy. I don't have them.
Amen.
Don't need them.
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. Amen. You know, I'm not down on pastor's anniversaries. I've been to plenty of them.
Amen.
You know, but it's not about me.
Amen.
It's about ministering God's word.
Hallelujah.
And so God's attitude and heart hasn't changed. Now, notice this. Talking about the temple. It was dedicated not only as a dwelling place of God's presence, which it was, but it was also a place dedicated to prayer. Notice this, that changes things. And so that place was separated, sanctified, set apart as a place of prayer that changes things. Now, when Jesus went into the temple, drove out the money changers, he said this: it is written that my Father's house shall be called a place of prayer among all nations. But you've turned it into a den of thieves. And so the temple was set apart, dedicated for one main purpose. Not only the sacrifices, not only the dwelling place of the presence of God, but a place of prayer that changes things. And so we need to understand how prayer can have an impact on our lives and how we can be successful at it. Now, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to talk about prayer, the basics. It's always good to go over this again and again. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek. That Hebrew word, bakwash, literally means to strive after something. That means there's a little bit of effort involved. To strive after something. To seek, to search out. So what is prayer? We're going to find out in today's lesson. Notice Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I want to focus in on one word. Praying always with all prayer. That literally means praying always or at all times with all manner of prayer or all kinds of praying. There are different kinds of prayers. We need to have enough wisdom to understand the difference. Notice that he said praying always, praying, praying. The word prayer here is a Greek word, prosyuke, and it is a compound word that simply means the prefix pros is, and Brother Dixon, if you would stand, this will help you to understand what prayer is. Understand when they went to the temple to pray, ordinary citizens, if you will, could only go so far. They could not enter into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do that once a year. Amen. But they would come and offer prayers within the temple. And God said he would hear from heaven. Yeah. So the temple was on the earth. Everybody say on the earth.
On the earth.
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
And God is in heaven.
God is in heaven.
So here's the way it worked. You would go to the temple, because that's where the presence of God was. Yeah. And you would petition him from the temple. He would hear from heaven. But now in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle by the Holy Spirit says praying always. Yeah. Prayer, prosyuke. Yeah. That word literally means pros, face-to-face communion.
Amen.
So prayer is not an exercise where you're praying to a God who's far away at a distant place. But here the Holy Spirit paints a vivid picture of face-to-face communion. Face to face, not face to back.
Yeah.
Not side to side.
Yeah.
Not at a distance with a can on this end, a can on the other end, and string in the middle.
Right.
Any of y'all used to do that when you were kids?
Yeah.
Make those homemade telephones? Can you hear me in there? And you couldn't hear. Blah, 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 a bunch of garbled up stuff. No. It literally means face to face communion. Now, there's a reason why we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We have a different standing than those Old Testament saints who had to go to the temple and petition there because that's where the presence of God was. Now we have an opportunity to commune with him face to face.
Thank you,
sir. Now, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Tell you what, I'll hold that passage for a bit. Put your finger in there or dog ear the page or something. Let's go to another passage first. Because I want to maintain the same thought. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at John 15 after this. So we see the Old Testament type of the temple of God being the place of prayer. But it happened to be located in Jerusalem. And if you wanted to pray and encounter the presence of God, did you know that every male was required to go and stand before the presence of God at least once a year? Even before the temple was built, when they were in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, every male had a requirement. Every year you got to go get in the presence of God. We can get in the presence of God anytime we want
Amen.
To.
Amen.
We ought to at least do it weekly.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
And if where you go to church, you don't find the presence of God, you got a decision to make.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I won't go down that road.
All right.
We're just so thankful.
Hallelujah.
We're just so thankful.
Yes, hallelujah.
But notice 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, watch this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, let me stop and give you a little tip. Whenever the Scripture says something, it should be first of all, that means it should be first out of all the things that you do. In other words, it needs to be a priority. That's why I'm going to spend the time teaching several weeks on the subject of prayer.
Amen.
We need to put first things first.
Yes, sir.
My daughter is got her permit now, and she's going to take her driver's test in a few days. But when she gets in the car, you know, there are always things you need to do in sequential order. First thing you need to do is put your seatbelt on. And I'm always telling my baby, seatbelt baby, seatbelt baby, seatbelt baby, seatbelt baby. And there are a lot of people who want to get in the car, start the car, take off, and then they think about the seatbelt later.
Amen.
Or if they see a policeman pull up, they think about the seatbelt. And they, you know, don't raise your hand if that's you. I had a drive red teacher in high school. His name was Mr. Niemeyer. And he was an ex-football coach. And so now he's like sort of semi-retired, teaching driver's ed. And I never will forget, I grew up in a small town, real small town. And the high school that I went to was in another town that was bigger than where I grew up. We didn't have any stoplights. The town where I went to high school had one stoplight. And that stoplight was at the end of Independence Street, crossing Route 51, four-lane highway. Route 51 went south and north from Pittsburgh to Uniontown. So, I'm in my driver ed class with three other students, two other students, and Mr. Niemeyer. And a kid named Paul Beasy was driving that day. I shouldn't have said his last name. Paul was a nice kid, but just a little goofy. And so we're heading down Independence Street, coming up to the stoplight, four-lane highway. Only light in town. You can't miss it. Well, I'm in the back seat. Mr. Niemeyer and Paul are up front. And he's driving down there. Never will forget. It was a beige Plymouth Satellite. Driving down to the intersection, the light turned red. Paul never even thought about stopping. He just motored right on through the red light, crossed all four lanes of the highway, and we're bracing ourselves in the back seat. And Mr. Niemeyer just sat there. And we got across the other side of Independence Street. And, I mean, I'm sitting back there. I'm like, he ran the red light. Mr. Niemeyer was cool. He just sat there. He said, Paul. I said, yeah. He said, pull over. He said, here? Yeah, pull over. So Paul pulled over to the side of the road. Mr. Niemeyer said, put it in park. He said, huh? Then Mr. Niemeyer hauled off and slapped it. Pow! Slapped him. Pow! Right across the face. And Paul said, what was that for? He said, boy, you almost got us killed. You ran the red light. Well, first things first. When the light's red, you need to stop. Okay? You don't need to think about, well, you know, just stop. Well, when it comes to the subject of prayer, it's a high priority. First of all, so that means it needs to have a prominent place in our lives. That's why it's so important. Now, many of the problems that people face in life would not be so much an issue if they would learn how to pray effectively.
Amen.
And I'll show you that as we progress in this. Because James wrote, says, you know, is any of you merry? Hey, rejoice, sing psalms. You know, is any in trouble? Then you need to pray. And so we need to be mature about this and put first things first. Notice what it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now, the word kings is a word that literally means leaders. We have leaders in many different areas. We don't have kings here in the United States of America. They still have a queen in England. How many of y'all watch the wedding? You know, it was a very ornate celebration, wasn't it?
I didn't watch
it. Well, they still have royalty in England. Yes. It's more of a ceremonial position than anything else, although they do have a lot of money. But anyway, and they know how to spend it. Anyway,
amen.
We don't have kings, but we have presidents, we have governors, we have leaders in our city, state, in our nation. The Bible instructs us to pray for these people. Notice he didn't say, pray for kings and for all that are in authority as long as you agree with everything that they do. No, it doesn't say that.
Amen.
Also, if you go back and look at the historical record, many of these kings were despots, desperate, scheming, conniving, selfish, murderous men. But yet, the Holy Spirit said, first things first, pray for them. Okay? So, we need to pray for kings, leaders, for all that are in authority. Excuse me. That we may have lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice this. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's fine. We understand that prayer should be a priority in the life of a believer. Amen. Keep in mind, prayer, prosyuke, face-to-face communion with God. Now, let me show you a contrast. We looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Where the temple was dedicated, separated, set apart as a place for prayer. Now, go down to verse 8. I want you to see this. Notice what he says. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Notice he doesn't instruct us to go to a temple or to a specific place. Whereas in the Old Covenant, a specific place was set aside for prayer. Now the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, who's pastoring the church at Ephesus, the largest church in the world at that time, said, I would that men pray everywhere. And so there again, that reinforces that concept of face-to-face communion with God. You don't have to go to a temple to find Him.
Amen.
All you have to do is pray.
Yeah.
Open your mouth.
Amen.
He's there.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
If you want to know the truth, you're carrying Him with you. Because the Bible says you are the temple of the living God.
Yes.
Now, I want you to see something else here. Notice the rest of this verse. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, what in the world is that talking about? Remember, the type in the Old Testament, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land.
Amen.
But then we have admonition from Paul, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands.
Amen.
Not sinful hands, not wicked hands, but holy hands. How can we lift up holy hands? Because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
And so we need to exemplify the character of Christ. Lift up our hands and they're clean.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes,
now, in the Old Covenant, they didn't have the ability to do that.
Right.
They had to offer sacrifices every year to cover up their mess. But we've been born again by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we have the life and nature of God on the inside of us. The sin issue has been dealt with. We can lift up holy hands.
Yeah.
Now, once you've been delivered, once you've been set free, you need to stay free.
Amen.
See, the battle is not to get delivered. The battle is to stay delivered. Because if you want to know the truth, you've been delivered. You just need to stay there. You with me? Oh, yeah, the old man will reach out of the grave and try to, like an old horror movie, try to pull you back down. But what do? You just shake yourself free. Hey, lift up holy hands. Notice this. Without wrath, that's anger, and without doubting. So we need to live as the temple of God, holy and pure, full of love, not angry at anybody.
Amen.
You know, there's some people live their lives mad.
Amen.
My daddy was that way. Mad. Go to the car wash, see an ethnic slur on the wall, and he tried to blast it off with the water. I watched him do it. I mean, I'm a little boy. I'm standing like, Daddy, it ain't coming off with water. It's paint. He's all mad and upset. I remember first time somebody called me a bad name. I was a little kid, Sacramento, California. The riots in Watts were taking place. And people were using words they'd never used on television before. And one little Asian girl went home or something, and she saw, you know, the riots in Watts. And so she come home. I remember she came out. She's playing. She said, my mommy said you're a such and such. Meant nothing to me.
Amen.
I didn't know what a such and such was. So I went home and asked my mama. I said, Mama, what's a such and such? Mama got mad. I didn't know what a such and such was. I didn't know. I was a little kid and I didn't know. We lived in Athens, Greece for 4.5 years, and I had a nanny named Marika. Marika didn't look like me, but she loved me like I was her own kid. And so when I come back to the United States, somebody called me a bad name. I'm like, huh? What is that? Serious, I didn't know. So I asked my mama. Mama knew. She said, you go back and tell her her mama's a such and such. I did. So I went back to my little friend, and my mama said, your mama's a... I still didn't know what it meant. But see, many of us carry around baggage.
Yes, yes.
And in that baggage, there are hurts.
Yes.
There are bruises. There are painful situations from our past.
Amen.
And instead of releasing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of giving them up and just allowing the love of God to flow through us, we go around with wrath.
Yes.
That'll hinder you.
Yes.
You know what? That'll make you an ineffective place of prayer.
All right. Yes. All right.
Not only will dirty hands make you an ineffective place of prayer, holy hands, but without wrath and without doubting. If you're not a person of faith, you'll be an ineffective place of prayer.
Amen, sir.
And so here we see the exhortation. No longer do we have to go to the temple, the specific place to pray, but rather now we are the temple.
Yes, yes.
And because of the redemptive work of Jesus, our hands are clean.
Yes, yes.
We can lift up holy hands.
Yes, yes.
We can be free from anger and wrath.
Yes, yes.
And we can be free from doubt.
Hallelujah.
Because we have confidence in His Word.
Yes, right.
So all of those things will help you to be effective in your prayer life. We don't have to come here to pray, although we do it on Saturday mornings. Thank God for those people who gather here 7 o'clock on Saturday to pray. You know, there's certain things that happen when you join with other people to pray. But you can be in your home on the throne and pray. Are you with me? That's not the best place, though. You ought to have a little more consideration than that. Are you with me?
Yes.
You need to have a dedicated place to pray, and don't let it be something you think about at the last minute. Oh, boy, while I'm in the bathroom, I better pray. While I'm brushing my teeth. That don't work too well.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to look at a couple verses, and there again, we've shared these verses before. There again, for many of you, this will be a refresher. For some of you, it may be new. John chapter 15. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, let's look at two verses, verses 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Notice what it says. Notice also, who said these words? What color are these words in your Bible? Anybody have a red letter edition? Okay, what does the red signify?
Jesus.
That Jesus is speaking, right? Let me ask you something. Do you think that Jesus, number one, understood God? I think so. Do you think that Jesus, number two, was at least a decent teacher?
Amen.
I'd say he was more than that. I'd say he was the best teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. And so Jesus was, I often refer to him as the master theologian, the master teacher. Nobody knew God more intimately than Jesus did. Notice what he said about the subject. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, Jesus makes a statement that at first glance seems too good to be true. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But notice there are conditions placed upon that statement. Number one, if you abide in me, the word abide, the Greek word meno, which means to take up residence, to settle down and dwell someplace. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Same word. Then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So there are conditions. The two conditions are, number one, abiding in Christ. Number two, having His Word abide in you. Now, here's the thing that I want to leave you with this morning. If you're going to be successful in your prayer life, you're going to have to maintain a vibrant connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, abide in Him. And number two, His Word is going to have to abide in you. You're going to have to be a person who honors God's Word. Now, when I say honors, that simply means that you give it a place in your life, a place of priority. In other words, you cherish God's Word to the degree that you'll devote time to it. Right. See, things that you really care about in life, you invest time in them. I know people who are involved in different activities, and my goodness, they invest a whole lot of time in it. Whether it be hockey. I know folks who are into hockey, youth hockey, to the point that they travel to every tournament they can get to. I know people who are into dogs, and I have a dog. I love my dog, except when she puts that cold nose on me. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. That's how dogs live. They live by the nose. They won't smell everything. And so there are times I'll go down, we keep her in the kitchen at night, and she's good. But I'll walk through the kitchen, and you get the cold nose on the hand. She's trying to see what's on your hands, you know, looking for something to eat. I'm like, get that cold nose off of me. But there are people who are into dogs and take their dogs to dog shows. And you know that takes a lot of time. They buy special vehicles so they can haul their dogs. They buy special equipment so they can groom their dogs. They invest in training their dogs. They invest time spending, you know, staying in hotels so they can go to these dog shows. They travel hundreds of thousands of miles for their dog. Why? They care about their dog. They're really excited about their dog. I love my dog. Not that much. You with me?
Amen.
I don't have a show dog. I just got a nice Weimaraner. But, you know, the dog's a dog. But I don't love the dog more than I love my wife.
All right.
I don't love the dog more than I invest time in ministry or my job. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so if you want to be successful in your prayer life, you have to give God's Word a place of priority. That means you're going to invest a little time in it.
Amen.
Now, you want to learn how to cure insomnia? You know what insomnia is?
Mm-hmm.
People who can't sleep at night. You know what the cure is? Wait till the last part of the day to read your Bible.
Amen.
And after you've done everything you're going to do all day long, and you've watched The Late Show and Conan and all the other stuff that's on TV, and you still can't sleep, I guarantee you this will work every time. Get your Bible and sit up in the bed. See, right now I'm reading the Gospel of John again, just for my own personal study time. And start reading the Bible. I guarantee you that insomnia will leave you. Can I get a witness? Now, I'm just being facetious with that. You need to devote time to God's Word before you've exhausted everything else. All right? Stuff you don't care about, you invest a little time in it. See? I've often said this, you know, and how can I say this without offending anybody? If the state of Pennsylvania depended solely on me for their lottery income, they'd be out of business. Because I don't play the lotto.
Amen.
If a cigarette company wanted to use me as a model for their marketing, they'd fail because I don't buy their products.
Amen.
Stuff I don't care about, I don't invest any time in or money in. Are you with me?
Amen.
But the things that I care about, I'll put my treasure there, number one. And number two, I'll invest time in it. So if you want to learn how to pray effectively, if you want to be that dwelling place of God, If you want to be an instrument that prays and changes things, you're going to have to make an adjustment in your lifestyle.
Yes.
You're going to have to abide in Jesus and allow His Word to take up residence and settle down in you. That does not mean you read your Bible 5 hours a day. But it does mean you feed on a consistent diet of God's Word.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody got the point?
Amen.
All right. So there are times that it'll necessitate a little bit of change. Now, here's what I want you to remember today. Successful prayer is based upon the Word of God. Successful prayer is based upon the Word of God. Remember, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We'll explore that a little further next week. But successful prayer is based upon the Word of God. To pray beyond the Word of God is to pray outside of God's purpose and plan. You want your prayers answered? Pray the Word. Pray the Word. Don't pray just for the sake of praying. And I've met people who did that. I've met all kind of wild, crazy, seen all kind of wild, crazy prayer requests over the years. And they weren't based in the truth of God's Word, and God's not obligated to answer those prayers. Are you with me? And so here's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to examine how to pray, number one. We're going to examine how to pray. The Bible teaches us how to pray. We're also going to examine what to pray for. There are certain things we should pray for. And we're also going to examine who to pray for. The Bible teaches us not only how to pray, but what to pray for and who to pray for. So we'll explore all of those things in this series. Amen?
Amen.
And so hopefully when we're done with this, it'll be a refresher for some. It'll be new for others. But it'll make your prayer life, that is, not only a precious private time in your life, but it'll make your prayer time vibrant and exciting, and you'll look forward to it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? You'll look forward to it. You'll be able to pray at the drop of a hat. You'll be able to pray at the drop of a hat, doesn't matter what happens. And you'll know how to pray effectively, all right?
Amen.
Would you stand with me, please?